All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Got Empress here.
Hi!
And I have somebody else.
What's up?
It's Dead Penetration. We've got him. She's...
Hi.
That... You might need to... Might need to turn you up a little bit because I didn't hear you, but anyway.
I didn't hear that.
No. It kind of went out, but anyway. So why don't you start and tell everybody what the heck's going on?
Oh, okay. Well, went in for a biopsy. Some of my labs came back weird. I'd had that transplant a couple of years ago, and they found out the medicine they were giving me for NR rejection, it was curing a BK virus, which everyone has, but when you start doing immunosuppression, your body's open to actually dealing with it instead of it just kind of wiping it out automatically. So it was curing that, but it wasn't protecting my body from attacking my kidney, so... I was already going into kidney failure when I got into the hospital, so they just kept me there for like a week and a day or two. And now I'm going every Monday, Wednesday, Friday to get antibody replacement and then protein injection or infusions. Replace what they take out and replace.
So yeah,
it's not bad. I've got one more week of that, and then they'll take the port out of my neck.
Now
I can start getting my strength back.
Yay! Thank God for modern medicine, and thank God for DP being not as bad. Because boy was worried about you. Grim was he was really. You mean a lot to him, DP. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people praying for me. I appreciate everybody praying for me, because there's a lot of people that it doesn't reverse, so it's lucky that it is reversing.
Yeah, it's so, really good to hear.
Yes.
That don't happen on its own.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good to hear, you know. Like I said, thank you for all your thoughts and prayers, the comments and everything I've read. It means a lot, guys. We do appreciate it.
So all the machines they hooked me up to, I feel like a Weapon X project.
Yeah! definitely. Okay, well, so yeah, I'm supposed to announce that Future Fragments came out today after 9 years, but it's still not 100%, so I'm not going to be playing it after the show. It was something I was gonna do, but since DP is here, I figured we'd probably do Being a Dick, because people are missing that.
Yeah.
And, and basically, we can do Future Fragments later. I'll do it tomorrow when I do my Grim Plays segment, feature. But, so it's out now, guys. You can pick it up. Remember, all the updates and everything to the game are free. You won't have to pay for anything after you buy the game. The game is just $20. People have been playing the shit out of it. You can beat it in like an hour. It's not that long. Huh. A lot of people are speed running it. They're trying to beat it in a couple minutes. So yeah, there's some interesting conversation going on. People are really trying to get through this game. Fragments. No. Future Fragments. We have played it before, but now it's finished. Yeah. It's finally done.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they still have to add things.
So many games, and I get only half the names.
So you can pick up Future Fragments on Steam, you can pick it up on itch.io, and you can pick it up at Shady Corner Games. So go ahead and grab it. It'll also be on like GOG and a bunch of other places later, but he just wants to make sure everything is 100% before he, puts it on the other platforms. So yeah, that is a big announcement. I mean, it's got 99 positive reviews. That's not too bad. There's some people that say it needs work, but yeah, we knew it needed work. And it's
fashion project.
They're like, oh, it's 9 years. I expected it to be better than this. Yeah, but it's like one guy and a small team.
Yeah, you think about the team that makes a regular video game, it takes a year or two or three.
Yeah. I mean, it does. People are saying it has a lot of dialogue. They have 50 voice actors and actresses, you know, a mix of teams. So.
How many people did Cyberpunk? Like a shitload.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a top caliber game there.
Well, yeah, but that just kind of in comparison, versus whole swarm.
Yeah. Now we might play if we have time. We might play a little bit of True Love, because True Love is made by the dude that did Love and Sex Second Base, but it's actually got some of Miss. What is her name? Miss Moonified. Her very last voice acting work is in that game. Because remember, she retired. So, we'll probably do some of that just to show you guys that one. And I did actually buy that one. I told you I didn't buy Love and Sex. Do you know that made that guy $385,000?
That's pretty awesome.
It made him $385,000. And this one's not on Steam, by the way. True Love is not on Steam. Same.
Where we're from, that's Steam, like three houses.
Same developer, yeah. Same dev, but different game. Same dev, but a game that Steam just, I don't know, they just didn't like it for some reason. Because I checked and it's not on there. So you can get it exclusively.
So what genre is True Love?
Who?
What genre?
No, what genre is it?
Well, I like this guy's accent.
Hold on. What game are we talking about here? The one
True
I was
talking
about? Oh, True Love. Yeah, it's a raising. It's a raising.
Well, you can talk about both of them, because I haven't heard of them.
Oh, it's... Okay, the first game is Future Fragments. That's an action platformer with Metroid-style elements. It's more of a game than an adult game. Like, some people are upset about that. And I'm like, why would you be upset about that? It's a game. I mean...
I can see, like, on the nudity, you have to have a reason for the nudity. Sometimes.
Well, it does, but at the same time, it's got so much more to offer than just that, right?
But,
And then, of course, True Love is a raising kind of game. It's like a dating thing, you know, the girls have different... Maybe it's like a visual novel a little bit.
No, I never played
Ninja watched
Turtles,
a trailer
like,
for it, so I haven't
sex.
Actually played it myself. But if it's anything like his other games, yeah, it's going to be pretty good. All the girls are voice acted. Everything. So, it looks cool. I mean, it's anime. Both of the games have an anime art style. Like, both of them are made in the West, but both of them have anime art style. So,
just look for that. PlayStation Store right now, they have... Is it okay to pick up Girls in the Dungeon video?
Yeah, I haven't.
Free?
I got that. Well, I downloaded that, but I haven't played it yet.
The game for free.
But, alright, guys, now that we've gotten through that, I've got some articles that we can go through because there is some interesting things. There's always interesting things going on. And, let's see. News for show. So, first, we're going to talk about. This really, I don't know if it's useless, because a lot of people aren't using discs anymore. I mean...
I do.
Well, alright.
I use hard copies, because I like that.
So, researchers have developed a very big disc that can store up to 200 terabytes of data. And may represent...
I thought you said dick.
And may represent a return... to optical media for long-term storage. I was going to make that joke, but I didn't.
Well, you think about it, external drive or motherboard, that all that is a disk with a motor built
into it. Yeah, that's it. But it basically says, good news for those of you that have kept that big old stack of burned DVD and CD backups taking up space in your attic. They may well be making a comeback. A team of researchers also appear to have have a hard time letting go of the concept of spinning discs, so they developed an optical disc with a massive capacity of well over a petabit of data. You know how big that is?
That's a shitload.
That's 128,000 gigs.
Wow.
how many gigs are in a terabyte?
2,000?
1,000.
1,000
gigs in a terabyte. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so
No. A terabyte is 100 gigs. I'm sorry. No, it isn't.
No, it's way more than 100 gigs.
Terabyte is 1,000 gigs. I'm sorry. So, yeah, this is 128,000. 128,000.
You're not a toothpicks on the ground kind of guy.
No, I'm
so
not.
That was, So that would be 128 terabytes?
It said it was up to 200 terabytes. Up to 200.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah, 200.
A team of scientists and researchers at the University of Shanghai for Science and Technology have managed to exponentially increase the capacity of an optical disc by making use of a 3D planar recording architecture via TechSpot. Essentially, the process involves stacking hundreds of data recording layers, a mere 1 micrometer apart, all while keeping the overall thickness of the disc the same as a traditional DVD or Blu-ray. So it's going to be the same size as a regular old disc, but you can put, like, a million movies on it.
That's awesome.
And we're not even joking. A million movies.
What do you think about?
Did they just basically do what they did to vinyl, but to discs?
Vinyl, you probably still only have so much you can cram onto a vinyl, probably.
Now, let's see here.
Did they just digitally vinyl the discs?
I don't know. I think I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that, hey, they're
saying they put it on top of each other. So did they, like, put the lines closer together or something? Like,
not layered.
Yeah, they layered it. They basically layered it in some weird fashion that we have.
What do you think of Blu-ray?
The only layering I can think of is, like the layering of the rings on the vinyl.
She's saying, like, a layering on a vinyl record.
Well, layering, that's almost like a spiral with little potholes in it that make the sound with the needle, so on. So.
Yeah, but they're, like, layers of spirals.
I think it's more like a cake. Like a cake or a book. There's multiple pages.
How can you go up if it's...
It's a 3D disc. No, it's supposed to
be... They found a way to compress...
Yeah.
How do you make
a
disc 3D?
So on a disc,
I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, but from what fascinating, this is blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, but from what I've read so far, it seems like they compressed down the information from multiple CDs into one CD.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the way this article reads, the image I get is like they put all the little optical grooves that would be on the vinyl closer together and made a bit more space.
Well, let me read a little bit more on it.
I see what you're saying.
This much denser physical storage format makes use of 100 layers, which is said to result in a maximum data capacity of 1.6 petabits, or roughly 200 terabytes of storage.
So check this out. So in graphic design, if you're using any kind of Adobe software or any kind of thing like that, a lot of the images are built in layers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a layer for all the red parts of a figure. There's a blue layer for all the blue. There's a peach for all the peach colored.
Yeah.
And you separate them. So if there's a fault in one of the layers, you can go to that layer and fix it individually instead of trying to decipher all the layers meshed into one. You can also compress all those layers into one layer.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. But that's just image-wise. Now, they're talking about audio and visual.
That's like you're doing a painting, right? And you do, like, your base layer. You do your drawing. You know, you do all the different layers, and then it ends up in like, the main image, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much like that.
But the computer does it in separate sections, and then layers each section on top of each other.
If you've ever painted on glass, it's kind of like that. You have to do the top layer first, and then do the background behind it, and then when you look on the other side of the glass, it's a complete image.
Now, what you might be asking is, okay, Grim, so what the hell are they going to use this for?
Oh, so that's like those anatomy books that had, like, the clear plastic pages that were printed on, and they would layer.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It should come as no surprise that this solution is primarily being developed for enterprise storage. The researchers hope to reduce the space needed for a high-capacity data center down from a gigantic facility to a single room by switching over to an optical storage solution, which would not only make the centers... Hold on. That got really hot. The centers themselves cheaper to build, but also cut down on the associated heat and energy issues that data facilities can currently struggle with. Another associated benefit would be the minimalization of data migration, The discs are said to be highly stable with an expected lifespan of 50 to 100 years. Oh, okay. That's a huge leap over the current data center.
They get scratched all the time.
Yeah. Because they have they generally have to move data over every 5 to 10 years to avoid data loss from aging drives. I have to do that myself. And while enterprise usage appears to be the priority, the researchers also say that home databases are a potential future use case. If you've got a stack of external hard drives, wow.
Does it mean that we can start our own database and servers and stuff at home?
You can put a server on.
I mean,
something like that. If you've got a stack of external hard drives backing up your precious holiday photos, videos, and documents, the team envisions a future where a home database might make use of the technology, storing a whole family's worth of aggregated data on a single familiar-looking disk.
I love this idea. This
sounds great for people that don't want their... So recently, companies have been like, wanted to do the streaming when buy the... You're technically leasing. You're buying it for a lease, so you don't need to own it, but with this, you can actually own your media.
Take it off the PlayStation. Yes, they can't take it from you. And then you don't have to store it on their stupid servers.
That's why I like hard copies of games, is because anything can happen. They could say, other games that you used to buy off the store, which now, technically, if it's for four, you still have it, but maybe three, you don't.
Like all of my pirated Dragon Ball episodes that I have on this old computer.
Tell the entire world what you've been up to.
Well, can you think of all the discs that they make exclusively for online play only?
Before, like if it that goes illegal out, to pirate, so I can't get in trouble for it.
I don't pirate anything, so.
I don't know how to pirate anymore.
completely forgot. Just, butt pirate. Okay, so we've got an interesting article here from Futurism. We talked to the guy who wore a Vision Pro VR headset at his wedding. My wife was like, "We're not taking photos in the Vision Pro." Earlier this week, a wildly 2024 photo came across our desk. That's literally what it said, a wildly 2024 photo. Anyway, it was an image of a young bride standing with her groom, who's donned one of Apple's new Vision Pro headsets for the big day. The groom is notably smiling. The bride, meanwhile, looks a little less than pleased. We had to know more. Did he wear the roughly $3,500 spatial computing headset during the ceremony? Did he dream of one day strapping a 1.3-pound VR device to his face on his wedding day? And how did the bride really feel about it? To find out, we got in touch with the newlyweds, and thankfully we can confirm that the headset was only donned after the ceremony. I did not wear it in ceremony out of respect to God and to my wife. The groom, a 24-year-old software dev and serial entrepreneur named Jacob Wright, said on a Wednesday phone call. But after we got out of the ceremony, we were taking photos, like the bridesmaids and the groomsmen and things, and just jokingly I was like, "Hey, I have my Apple Vision Pro in my backpack. I carry my backpack everywhere," he added, sheepishly. "It's a bad habit." So the Utah-based dev said he ran back to the car to grab the headset mid-photo shoot. My wife was like, "We're not taking photos in the Vision Pro," he added. But I told her it was just for the meme. He also confirmed that no, he didn't exactly grow up envisioning himself wearing a face computer at his nuptials. The bride, Cambry Wright, seemed more bemused than anything. He's like, "Can we please take pictures?" she said, a full-time student at Brigham Young University. So I was like, "Yeah, it's fine if everyone else leaves, but it's the last thing I wanted pictures of. I looked pissed in the picture. I wasn't really mad, though," she added. "I just thought it was funny."
You think a lot of people are complaining about it giving them headaches.
Well, yeah.
The image is being so close to your face.
When Nintendo came out with their VR, too. Remember my friend.
The thing is that Dad had it,
and
it
was all red, and that thing really did give you a headache.
Oh, you're talking... She's talking about the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, the
Virtual... TFM talked about that. He said everybody else got a... what was it, a Super Nintendo or something? He said, "Oh, I got a Virtual Boy." And
you
he was talking...
The toy aisle. It wasn't even an electronics aisle.
Yeah.
Only my rich friends had that shit.
Rich? Yeah, I thought it was next to the Ninja Turtles action figures.
Yeah, never mentioned. My friends. They were my dad's business associates. And I had to go with him to meet their children for, you know, dinners and stupid shit.
What?
But it was cool because I was like, Siri, oh, yeah, I want to try this VR. And then I was like, oh, this makes me sick. I can't play this game.
Yeah, she's
but
listening.
Also Nintendo 64 made me really sick. Now, I couldn't play it either. Because like,
really? Nintendo 64 made you sick?
I'm surprised. That,
man, yeah, I loved playing it.
Oh my gosh, how especially the camera moves around, now. I would get nauseous. I would start throwing up after playing it.
Damn. Okay, so we have we've got another article here.
I don't know.
I
just
want to mention real fast about that virtual, like the virtual glasses. I think that's like, we just gotta get used to it.
Oh, I know what you're saying. the thing, those Apple ones, they're like meant to be like an all day thing you wear on your head, so it seems like odd.
Yeah, it does. Okay,
and
so
the new Apple glasses that they're coming out with.
So we got
watches. Or?
Wow. We got a really good article.
Yeah,
so,
I've got.
Ooh, which one is this one?
Okay, this just fucking happened. New York Post: does size matter? Age-old penis debate finally settled in groundbreaking study. February 23rd, 2024. So yeah, it was okay. It was just yesterday, 1:10 p.m. New data has finally put to bed the age-old debate: does size really matter? The controversial topic has long caused a divide among men and women, but researchers have just released stats that prove the issue isn't actually about what's in a man's parts, but instead lies in the taboo surrounding female sexual preferences. Academics at the University of Kent in the UK South have just released a groundbreaking study that debunks some of the biggest myths about sexual pleasure for women by analyzing, get this, 265 sex toys. The study assessed factors such as size, material, price, and customer reviews to uncover what women really like in bed. The findings were very revealing, showing circumference triumphs length as I thought it did, and importance when it comes to women's preferences. The findings were very revealing, showing circumference trumps length. And importance when it comes to women's preferences.
What if it's only like a tuna can? Like it short also, but thick as a fucking...
It also dispels the long-held belief that bigger is better in the context of sexual satisfaction. Researchers concluded that women don't place considerable emphasis on large phallus size. The surprise bedroom revelation comes after it was found that the average penis length has increased over the past 30 years. Research published in the World Journal of Men's Health last year discovered that the average penis size had grown 24% over nearly three decades.
I can tell you how that is.
How do we know that?
During puberty.
But while
I guess they did some research on certain. Is this like worldwide?
Yes, this is apparently a worldwide study.
So three decades. They could have done. They did research it for multiple years, I guess.
Oh, well.
Say it will be correct everywhere.
Oh man, this
and
is kind of
worldwide could just mean that certain areas that all certain people started to have decent meals.
This is kind of worrying. Now, it says while many may think the findings are good news, experts warn it's actually a concerning discovery. Researchers at Stanford University who conducted the study fear the phallic inflation is due to unhealthy habits like binging junk food, are being mostly sedentary, or even pollution.
That was the secret to a bigger penis.
Any
potato chips every day. Increase your growth.
Any overall change. Any overall change.
Do that, I guess.
I don't know. Any overall change in development is concerning because our reproductive system is one of the most important pieces of human biology. Dr. Michael Eisenberg, the study's author, told Stanford Medicine's blog Scope. If we're seeing this fast of a change, it means that something powerful is happening to our bodies. To get to this alarming conclusion, data from 75 studies with 55,000 men from 1992 to 2021 Focused on the length of an erect penis was analyzed. Focusing on the length of an erect penis was analyzed. Erect penile length is getting longer, from an average of 4.8 inches, 12.1 centimeters, to 6 inches, 15.2 centimeters, over the past 29 years, Eisenberg said.
About 6 was the average.
While more studies are needed to confirm the findings, and if confirmed, determine the cause of the changes, this research's conclusions are hard for experts to swallow. Dr. Eisenberg assumed he'd see a decline. Instead, he found the opposite. Given the trends we've seen in other measures of men's reproductive health, we thought there could be a decline in penile length due to the same environmental exposures, he said. What we found was quite different from trends in other areas of male fertility and health. Chemical exposure from pesticides or hygiene products, he continued, could be one of the various factors causing the quick growth. Hear that, fellas? Such chemicals can disrupt the endocrine system, which regulates hormones. Past studies have claimed that pollution is shrinking penises. Well, we found out that's a myth.
Just like global warming.
Well, I would just like to tell my high school youth group church leader that he was wrong, because evolution does exist, and we have it proof of it now through the study.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are traits that different people from different parts of the world possess. Like,
that's true.
People from the equator are less scary and contain more melanin, protect their body from skin,
that's true,
cancer, and
that's
everything.
That's absolutely true.
And then us,
okay, yeah, hell, translucent
people up north,
that the
were made burly.
It could be that most people have been more food in general.
Yeah,
would that change people.
And plus,
or maybe guys are jerking off a lot more.
Oh.
Well, that could be. Well, I have researched, just on people's general, height.
To get me by.
I can hardly hear DP. Is there any way to turn him up?
Yeah, he's a little bit.
Is there any way to turn really you off?
Turn me off?
Up! Up!
Well,
no, up!
Up! Well, he doesn't really
cabbage
have a
cabbage smell. It turns me off so bad. I can't even. I can barely thrust.
But if it's worldwide, it could just be that the people more food and that's changing body weight.
It might be something like that.
I'll tell you what has the most pesticides, they say, is breakfast cereal.
Really? You know, that surprising surprise.
Pesticides have been used in grain production so much.
Apartheid and racism is illegal now. There's more black genes in the bodies, and so all the dudes are growing bigger.
I didn't get the memo.
I don't remember anything like that.
If it's worldwide, it could just be what's left.
Right.
If we're going on, because that has changed a lot of how people behave, because the worldwide height has changed.
Right.
That's common times.
People have large phallic.
That is true. So yeah, it could just be regular evolution, like as people get taller. I can't hear DP.
And that's why you see most.
Well, I don't know.
With little mini pieces.
I can't, like, he's moved. You might not be able to hear him that well, but I'm pretty sure everybody can hear him on the video. That won't be an issue.
Yeah,
I think I want to talk over him, so I'll try to be more aware when he's speaking, because I can hardly hear him.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. So, we're not going to talk about the inducing stomach bug shit, because it just seems like...
I mean, we're already on penises.
I know, but it just seems like...
That's like a step back at this point. Let's talk about the stomach bug. I thought we were having such a good conversation about phallic objects.
On.
And our food.
I love talking about dick.
Well,
I'm sure you do, but we have something more interesting.
I mean, I talk about myself all the time.
So, I run the Daddy Academy. These are 5 things men need to do to date their dream women. Now listen up, guys, because I think you've got hold on now. We're gonna go through everything that he says, and then we're gonna, you know. Alright, so it's a man's world, except when it comes to scoring a date. Reddit boards are bursting with complaints from frustrated fellas who say they're giving up on love because the fair sex won't give them time of day. Infamous 09 research found that women rate a whopping 80% of men as unattractive or below attractive, while it's long been claimed that an overwhelming majority of women compete for the top 20% of men. We all know that. Okay, the stats have left many males feeling it's impossible to score a single phone number, let alone land the lady of their dreams, but Nico Imenadoulis is here to help. The Hunting Manhattanite, 30, yeah. runs the Daddy Academy, an online dating advice platform that boasts more than 220,000 followers. In an interview with the Post, Emanadelis, or whatever the man's name is, said that there are 5 practical steps that any man can take to make themselves attractive to women, and they all help boost confidence. Okay, so the first step, he says... oh, hold on, he didn't... Alright. If you're not feeling good about yourself, why would a woman feel good about you, he asked.
Yeah.
Below are the guru's tips to take you from an incel basement dweller, that's just what the article says, to an eligible bachelor. Thank him later.
I know what they're saying.
Be
outgoing.
Number one. Now, this we can all agree with. I don't think anybody here is going to have a problem on any of the sites. Number one, pursue a passion project that gives you a sense of purpose. According to Emanadelis, there's no bigger turnoff to a woman than a man who lacks drive and purpose. The answer, pursue a passion project outside of your 9-to-5. Even better, it could potentially turn into a full-time gig. This is really number one, he declared. Building yourself up as a man through the passion in your life and striving to make it the biggest thing it can possibly be. Whether it's painting, playing an instrument, owning your cooking skills, or even antiques collecting. Women respond to a man who has an intensity about an idiosyncratic interest.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're putting your passion and your energy, eventually you'll find a way to monetize it, the dating expert added, saying women really respond to that drive.
It seemed like he's already given you steps that you should...
Uh-oh, hold on. Kind
of common sense.
Seems like we may have lost the other crew. Hold on a minute.
Get him back.
I'll get him back. It's just my phone. Are you guys here? Hello? Are you there? Hello?
Hola.
I'm here.
Thank you. Oh, I can hear you guys again.
Yeah,
yes.
Sorry. I had an issue with the article, apparently. Sometimes it does that.
Do you ever think about it, too? Have you ever noticed, like, the girls you're not interested in for dating? It's how you come off at they're usually the ones that end up going after you or wanting to date you.
Let me go all the way, you know, because some of you guys didn't catch it. And I'm going to do one of the problems that I have with my articles is if I go to, like, a big site like New York Post, it'll have so many ads that it cuts me off Discord.
Huh.
Yeah. So, are you guys there? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So, let me go back, because I'm doing an archive page now, and I shouldn't have near the problems that I had before. Okay, so, if you guys didn't catch it, the article, number one, the first thing they said that will take you from being an incel basement dweller to an eligible bachelor, that's the article, is pursue a passion project that gives you a sense of purpose. So we talked about that one, and
what if it's being a basement dweller?
He basically said, "All right, there's no bigger turnoff to a woman than a man who lacks drive and purpose." The answer: pursue a passion project outside your 9-to-5. Even better if it could potentially turn into a full-time gig. There is really number one. Excuse me. He says this is really number one: building yourself up as a man through the passion in your life and striving to make it the biggest thing it can possibly be. Whether it's painting, playing an instrument, owning your cooking skills, or even antique collecting, women respond to a man that has intensity about idiosyncratic interest. Where you're putting your passion and energy, eventually you'll find a way to monetize it, the dating expert added, saying, women really respond to that drive.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that?
I mean, not anything you think
from
about.
This one, I can guess where he's going to go for the rest of them. And I'm not surprised. Wait, is he paying people for this?
It seems like people are paying him.
But
so he's scamming. He's another scammer.
Let's see what the other ones are, because there's only four more.
I will say, though, it's common sense to a lot of people.
I think it's pretty good advice.
There are people out there.
No, it's good advice. But it's not advice that's unique.
Right, it's nothing special.
But hey,
Well, number two, this also should go without saying. Present the best physical version of yourself. It may sound superficial, but looking your best.
That's another
comment. Means you'll also feel your best, and you'll project that attractive energy outward in turn. Nobody you don't need to be a bodybuilder, but every man should strive to be the most physically fit version of themselves, or the version that brings them confidence when they look in the mirror, he said. The dating guru claimed that regular exercise is transformative and requires discipline, consistency, and other qualities that make a great partner.
What's the next one? Have a personality?
So you'll have to get up off the couch and get to the gym. You also need to freshen up your wardrobe, make sure you're properly groomed, and pay attention to your hygiene. Smell nice, do the hair, trim the beard, he said, and don't forget
brush your teeth.
Yeah.
What?
It's literally there. Fresh breath.
If I'd only known to brush my teeth and shower... At least three. Once to two times a day.
Cultivate your emotion.
Swimming in pussy.
Cultivate your emotional intelligence. Every man should be in or should have done some therapy or life coaching, he says. The male experience is complex. We tend to hold a lot of things in. We don't share a lot of emotions, and that translates to your dating life, he said. According to the expert, women respond to men who are self-aware, introspective, and in touch with their emotions. Oh, they can use that against you.
Think about this. Remember Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser? He wanted to be the most
emotional guy. That's a really good
one. That fucking sunset.
Well, I think that everyone should go to therapy, especially before they get into a relationship, or at least like take a big step like getting married.
They should be comfortable in their own skin.
That's true.
Have all their issues figured out. But I mean, honestly, in the real world, most people don't have all their shit figured out.
No.
Not until they meet the right person.
And then even then, they sometimes they have to figure each other's shit out together.
We're all crazy. You just got to find the crazy you can deal with. Yep, we have to figure each other's shit out together.
That's right. Okay, and even if therapy or life coaching doesn't help you land a dream lady, it'll help you to keep her once you're in a relationship. Eventually, emotional blockages will show themselves, he said. Number four, expand your social circle. Given that many men find dates to their networks, it's important to surround yourself with the type of people who might help you meet your ideal mate.
Yeah.
That kind of goes without saying. If you want to level up, you literally need to change what your life looks like, he said. Hopefully some of Eman Abdullah's earlier tips provide avenues to meet new friends and acquaintances.
Now that,
though
common sense, people, if they're feeling like secluded and stuff, yeah, they should find outgoing friends, someone that counterbalances their, you know,
pursuing passion projects and heading to the gym are potential social opportunities, so don't squander them. And once you've got your new crew, get out and about. Yeah. One of the keys to meeting and attracting women is actually speaking to women, he said.
Yeah. I just stare at them in the corner of the room and sip my water.
Becoming a desirable dude isn't about altering yourself completely, he insists, but rather about enhancing who you are deep down.
Do you like fava beans and a candy?
You never want to change who you are at your core. That's what makes you unique, he said. In fact, women can sniff out a faker from a mile away, and it's an instant turnoff.
Well, you should fake it till you make it, because
fake
confidence turns into real confidence.
It's about enhancing your authentic self, the dating guru is.
I think he's kind of leading you astray. It's kind of like the weight loss programs they have. Like, follow these steps and you'll lose. Yeah, you'll lose, but if you don't eat what they sell you, you're going to gain
it all. Yeah, you're going to gain it all
or
back.
Or if you don't have self-discipline. Like, there's a actual way to do it, but they aren't going to tell you the right way. That's why, you know, all the diet foods almost 100% fat free and all that. Well, the fat, a lot of people, that's what the carnivore is working so good on people, because it's training their body to live off fat instead of carbs.
Well, men are here speaking their comments. So another good looking guy is going to tell the unattractive 80% of men that we just need to work harder or get a passion in order for women to like us?
I hadn't seen a picture. He may not be that good looking.
Women don't need men anymore, so they have become very picky and only care about money, resources, attractiveness, and men. So if you don't have either of those, just pack it in. Very cool with being alone. I didn't know that. And coming
Look up a picture of him. He looks like he's trying to be Marilyn Manson.
Wow. and coming to grips with the new reality of the world makes life much easier. Women today want a guy that looks good, makes a lot of money, and loves her even though she doesn't appreciate him. They also want him to support her in their career choice of having a fun career. They want it all. No wonder there's so many divorces. And then at the bottom, it says they only want you to finance their OnlyFans.
Yeah, OnlyFans.
Women have been like that for a long time. It's just now we can see it more obviously. Before, they had to be really good at hiding it.
Hiding what now?
Hiding what now?
Hiding the like the things that you just said, like, women only care about these things. They've kind of always been like that.
Oh yeah, well they definitely want security,
right?
Security is important for anybody, really.
Yeah,
that's another one of those comments that, you know what, women like security. Like, wow, fuck, is that what they needed? Shit, I did not know that. But a lot of people think it's kind of like, whenever they see someone do a magic trick, they're like, if I only knew that magic trick, right, I would be a great magician.
Right.
And the fucking thing is, they learned that trick and they're no better than when they started.
Right. Yeah, you got a point there. All right, here's a funny one. I asked the gym's personal trainer what type of machine I should use to get the best looking women. He said the ATM outside.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
That's hilarious.
Step zero.
I'm almost surprised with the advice that he gave people. It was
right.
Yeah. He's trying.
If people aren't doing it, that's because they have other that right. they don't.
Yeah. I mean, some people don't have time to do all that horse shit he's talking about. But they still meet people.
Yeah.
I think you got to put yourself in social situations. Talk to people. Don't put them on pedestals. You're just as good as anybody else out there.
Yep.
And it just happens.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I think, like, I don't think it's that important to, like, he's talking about a lot. All these men are talking about, like, going to the gym and making sure you look really great.
Well, and if you honestly, look great, you feel great
about,
if it's important.
I don't know about other women, but, like, If a guy is too good looking, it's an immediate turn off for me because I'm like, oh, he's full of himself. Like, I don't have time for that shit.
You're a piece of shit. Oh, God, I look great.
Wow.
This advice is generally good if you just want to improve your life.
But
don't
you
have
know
to
what?
Do anything.
I've been talking, like, I was talking to some guys today. Just, go ahead.
No, it's just that, yeah. Improve yourself. Get a hobby. It's good to get a hobby. You're not always by yourself.
Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Good to improve your looks because it makes you feel great.
Yeah.
Everything he's saying is general to make you feel. And it's a good thing to improve your... But don't do it because as soon as they leave, you...
Yeah.
Say, I did all this work.
You're cutting off a little bit,
yourself.
Mate.
Oh, sorry. I said all this stuff is good ideas, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But don't do it for someone. Do it for your...
Yeah,
because
well,
you want
and
to.
Really, that's really the takeaway from it, I think. Because, of course, he's not going to tell you that. He's going to say, if you want to get because that's what he's
that's
thinking,
his grift.
Wanting.
That's his grift.
And then he's just telling you things that you probably should be doing anyway.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't know they were good things, which I don't know why anyone wouldn't. But, I mean, there's some people that ain't got a clue.
Well, you know, I was talking to some guys today, and they were talking about how big of a deal height is now. And I was like, all right, so I was born in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So I don't remember women, like, thinking height was such a big deal. Like, it was never something that...
Oh, yeah, that's why they did all the basketball players.
Well, I mean, I'm just
football
saying,
players,
I never
wrestlers.
Really... Yeah, but I really never noticed
yeah,
it. Like,
but we've always liked height.
Cause I'm 6 foot, so maybe
I'm
because
five.
I'm tall, it doesn't, like I never noticed it. And one of the guys like, oh yeah, you're good then, you're 6 foot, and I was like, oh, it's really bad for guys that are like 5'11". I'm like, really? And he's like, oh yeah, you can have all these
it's
things.
Not that.
Go ahead.
It's not that bad for guys off. I feel like online it's death bomb. See, oh, you have to be 6 foot and all this stuff is just it's that outside of. The online world, it's less, people are more tolerant. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're not 6 foot, but you're torn. I can actually see, hey, you're taller than me to a certain degree. Yeah. Find you attractive.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think of volleyball girls. I'd like to climb them like redwoods.
Yeah.
They are gorgeous. But
I played volleyball.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Also, I don't think I'm the best person to talk about height because I'm above 6 foot. Not taller than everyone.
I'm above 6 foot, too.
I mean, not the best.
Well, y'all short people hang in there.
Yeah, I mean, we're all tall here.
That's kind of like, hey, go get a hobby. Well. You'll pick up women.
We're all tall here.
Height is attractive. And it, like, when I was dating multiple, like, I wasn't, like, sleeping with them. I was just, like, you know, going out on dates, like, you know, meeting people and whatever. And so, like, I guess, like, early on when I first started dating, height, it was like, oh, wow, this guy's really short. That guy's tall. I kind of like tall dudes. Tall dudes make me feel safer of deal. But, like, I've dated men just a little bit taller than me, the same height as me, much taller than me, you know. So I don't think it's, like, the most important factor.
I mean, I guess it just depends on the women. And, of course, it's more of... Like, they were talking to me about how Bumble... Oh, my God. People are paying, like, $500... 500 euros a month for Bumble.
Oh, I won't pay.
And there's some kind of beautiful people website where you have to... Oh, man. People were getting plastic surgery just so they could get... put on this beautiful people website. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It is fucking retarded.
I do like Bumble, though, but I'm sad like that Bumble, you have to pay for it now.
I go on plenty of dates on Bumble. But, you know, that's one of the few dating sites I think has some kind of value to it. But I'm...
Yep, it's actually a good one.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we got another article here from the New York Post. De-influencing is here. Gen Z and millennials giving up 9-to-5 jobs. I haven't done anything with my brain. Hannah Warlings is no longer under the influence of the limelight. In July 2023, the virtual fashionista, who had amassed a fan base of 1.8 million since pursuing full-time content creation in March 2020, noticed that chasing social media virality had lost its once intoxicating hook. Incessantly pumping out styling how-tos alongside promotional posts for the posh likes of Ralph Lauren and Jimmy Choo left the brunette unfulfilled. Solo filming herself at home each day ultimately sent the self-professed extreme extrovert spiraling into depression. But she hasn't lost her passion for fashion. Instead, the Gen Zer had grown disinterested in influencing.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you gotta think of how much shit you gotta put out to stay relevant, too. It's like most of your day. And where can you be interesting if you're spending most of your day behind a camera?
When you're an influencer, you become the product. You're selling yourself to the world, Warling from Los Angeles explained to the Post. And when you're the product, you can't stop. You have to be on all the time. You're constantly updating your socials, making videos, taking on brand deals because your livelihood depends on it, she added. Living that lifestyle can be extremely difficult. Of the estimated 10.2 million digital trendsetters across the U.S., Warling is one of the growing number of dissenters to walk away from the glitzy world of influencing, an industry projected to be worth $24 billion by the close of the year. In fact, a February 2024 report noticed that the influencer market dominated by internet megastars such as Charli D'Amelio and Mr. Beast has more than tripled since 2019. Owing to the COVID pandemic, which sent quarantine-exhausted creatives flocking to Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, for interpersonal connections, online fame became attainable to everyday folks.
I've never seen a D'Amelio anything.
Top universities such as USC, Cornell, Duke, and Chapman have even rolled out courses dedicated to influencership for spotlight wannabes. Ireland's Southeast Technological University took its commitment to the buzzy career a step farther, offering scholars a Bachelor of the Arts degree in its name. And for some small screen socialites, learning the tricks of the high tech trade has paid off in spades. It says beauty. Oh, damn it.
If you're doing a college class for something most people do well for free, you're wasting your money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I think those platforms, they should treat them like a TV series or a day show. Like, even the nighttime talk shows, which are shit now.
Oh, they're all crap.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. You know, they have off season. Like, during the summer, they're going on vacation. It's kind of like a teacher. You teach during teaching. During summer vacation, you're out doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. And so they have, and they have just as many breaks as kids. You think about how many school breaks we actually got, even though it seemed like forever you're in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Christmas off. We got all these holidays off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then now we're looking at it like, I don't even get President's Day off. All the banks closed.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck do banks do to get President's Day off? I want my money still.
Yeah, I still want my money. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
A lot of presidents happened here, so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Sorry, I got knocked off again. It's happening. I don't know. I'm going to use this other browser. I'm going to try this other browser real quick. Mm. We're going to see if that works. Mm. Empress, you hear me? Hello?
¿Cómo está?
Yes, okay. I can hear you.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I'm eating. I had my mic muted.
Okay, good. Well, this other browser should take out my ads. Well, it kind of does. Okay, can you hear me still? Just want to make sure this is working. We're still testing this stuff out. Okay, good. So I'm going to start fucking using this browser then.
Yes.
All right, so, like I said, beauty tastemaker Shantania Beckford, 29, went from homelessness to raking in more than $12,500 a month through partnerships with the posh likes of Sephora, Reebok, and Gymshark, thanks to her media superstardom. However, while NYC influencer Anna Wolferman says she's achieved similar success, such as gaining exclusive access to New York Fashion Week soirees, coveted brand deals, and a higher income than most recent college grads, the 22-year-old is too calling it quits after a 3-year run. This is not what I want to do the full time. The young cyber starlet announced in a trending TikTok confessional this month. The perks of being a trailblazer aside, Wolferman began feeling brainwashed by the unrelenting pressure to post and perform for social media's pleasure. When I do anything with my life, I have to take time out of my day to take a picture of me or take a video of me, she said.
That's
I hate
what
that.
Fucking entertainment business is.
Yep.
Except most people have people to film them instead of them having to break up and set up. What's going on? She's doing like 5 or 6 different people's jobs in the actual media industry and having to do it every day.
I hate that it is way too much of a self-obsessive job. I feel like since becoming an influencer, I haven't done anything with my brain. Marisa K, 25, bowed out of the petite fashion influencer sphere at the top of the year. The Oregonian, now a marketing executive, told her over 41,000 TikTok followers she'd grown tired of busting my ass, curating cutesy clips in order to make ends meet, an uphill battle during months when sponsorship deals were few. Financial stability is also incentivizing Abigail Grace, 25, a fitness and makeup maven from Arkansas, to pursue a more traditional 9-to-5. I'm definitely not at the point where I'm making a super comfortable living, she admitted. It's extremely financially stressful, especially in this economy.
In this economy? What?
That's her.
Hey, she looks familiar.
Oh, Lord. Might be your cousin.
I mean, kissing cousins, maybe. No, she... I may know her. I'll have to check my Facebook.
Okay. Anyway, it says Georgie Morley, a wellness vlogger turned wedding photographer from Nantucket, Massachusetts, pivoted away from influencing amid the content creator boom of 2020. At the time, the New Englander's fan base and ad campaign offers were expanding as her personal agency waned. From the mental health sides of things on social media, she began, "If you struggle with self-worth and your value is measured in dollars and followers, it is incredibly difficult to create boundaries around that." Warling also wasn't willing to continue living a life of inner chaos. She secured a fully in-office job as a social growth strategist with a fashion company last September. The entrepreneur-turned-staffer is earning just as much money as she made working for herself, she says. And while her parents, both retired mechanical engineers, initially thought she was nuts for ditching the freedoms of influencing to rejoin the rat race, Warling tells the Post she's never been happier. I love working in a team setting that provides me with daily structure and face-to-face community, the worker bee said, adding that she still enjoys creating social media content at her leisure from time to time. Now I'm working in an environment that isn't solely centered around me. It's about helping others, and that makes me feel good. I like that the top comment was, I am not influenced by influencer.
No, they're entertainment.
That's all they are.
It's like anything else that you watch on the internet for entertainment purposes. Now, there are informative shit, but influencers are not the informative part. I have never learned anything I didn't already know. I mean, I got a hobby already. I'm outgoing.
Right.
And I have value.
It's weird, because honestly, the only people I've ever seen influenced by influencers were like teenagers and boomers.
And look how their fucking lives are turning out. They're born people.
Okay, so porn star claims Man's Gym Act is proof women aren't safe in 2024.
She's a porn star.
A viral moment between a man and a popular porn star at a gym has amassed millions of views and sparked a huge debate. A young woman posted a video of a man interrupting her gym session, claiming it's proof women aren't safe in 2024. Adult content creator Maddie Ruvy was filming herself performing a pulse squat.
In the gym.
Yes.
At the gym. Whose fault is that? Like, people go to the gym not to be around that horse shit, and then she's showing up.
Right.
You're violating me because I'm doing a fucking pole dance in what's supposed to be a gym.
Right.
What was the fuck?
Filming herself.
That dumb bitch. I'm
performing
sorry.
A pulse
That's
squat.
That's just personal. I think that's retarded.
At the gym with a medicine ball when a man approached her. What are you doing, he asked. She explained she was doing a leg warm-up, but he disagreed, saying, I know what you're doing.
Exactly.
The stranger told Miss Ruvy, a popular porn star who charges fans $11 to view her explicit content, that she was an example of what's wrong with girls. He also added that she should keep this kind of behavior online, branding it ridiculous.
Yes.
Let's all clap for this. We're gonna clap for this man right now. This man is a man among men. He should be on the hall of manliness.
You can't be playing victim and doing something that you aren't supposed to be. Like, you can't be rubbing apple pies on your crotch at McDonald's and then, like, you're violating me for asking why I'm rubbing apple pies on my crotch.
Right.
I'm an adult content creator, motherfucker, and my rights will not be exploited.
It is unclear why Miss Ruvy was filming herself, but social media users have speculated that she may have been creating content for her X-rated sister. I wonder, gentlemen, why do you think she was doing pole squats?
That's why they have
What does a squat do? What is the main focus of the squat?
Showing your
butt.
Or
in
your ass.
In your butt.
No, the way she's doing it in that video, she's got this ball underneath, like, her vagina, and she's clearly squatting on it and making, like, sexy looks at the camera. And the gym owner walks over, and he had every right to kick her out, because she was being nasty, and other people were trying to go out there to work out and not be distracted.
Absolutely. In the clip, Miss Ruvy appears to be visibly shocked by the confrontation, responding to the man, "Are you pointing at me?" He then appears to kick her
visibly
phone.
Visibly shocked my ass.
What? As he
walks away, smashing the screen.
Oh, shit.
The racy content creator posts the exchange online, which has amassed millions of views on TikTok, and she said she couldn't believe she was shamed for innocently stretching at the gym. Oh, my God. This is bull fucking shit.
I've never seen a tit in public, and I said, oh, you poor victim. Like, no.
She also asked her followers if they thought the behavior was fair, and said, her followers would, they'd crawl through broken glass. They'd crawl through broken glass covered in shit for her.
If you're going to pay money for something you can get for free.
Right.
no fucking point. You're just wasting your money.
And said that just
that's
because...
like listening to a guy to be confident and get a hobby.
Right.
Hell, give me $20.
Said that just because she's a sex worker doesn't mean she wasn't simply exercising. I can't believe I'm not allowed to stretch at the gym because of what I do for work, she shared on Instagram. The conversation quickly turned.
No, it's not because of what she did for work. It's because of how she was behaving in the gym, which is a business.
Right.
And then that medicine ball had to point at a doll where she touched him.
The conversation online quickly turned into people debating her gym technique and whether he was in the right for interrupting her. Someone said his behavior was 100% valid because she wasn't stretching correctly. Yeah. And others argued that while her moves may have looked provocative to some, she was just doing pulse squats. I work at a gym and have never seen anyone do what you were doing, one wrote.
I've been to a strip club, though, and I've seen plenty of it.
Looks nothing like pulse squats, another commented. There was more online conversation about what she was filming the gym content for than the man's behavior. Some people were even saying that her gym stretches were purposely sexual, and therefore he had a right to intervene.
Perfectly sexual.
Yep, I agree.
There you go, giving positive feedback. Perfectly sexual. Maybe lewd.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Some people were even saying that her gym stretches were purposefully sexual.
There you go.
And therefore, he had a right to intervene.
Uh-oh, we see your Freudian slips.
Someone went as to comment that the stranger who interrupted her was a prime example of a real man.
That's
what a man does.
Hey, there's a place and a time for everything, and in the gym is not one of them.
The secondary conversation online revolved around people arguing that filming at your gym should be banned. It's become increasingly common to see people filming themselves at the gym following the success of TikTok and Instagram.
Don't see me going to the gym doing cock push-ups. What the fuck are you doing? I'm
suddenly
my cock.
Mundane public spaces like gyms have become places for people to create content. Why are cameras allowed at the gym, one question. Banned video recording in gyms, another said. Cameras should be banned and she should be banned forever, 100%.
Well, yeah.
Ms. Ruby replied to the outcry online and pointed out that she should be able to stretch at the gym without being told off. Before I started OnlyFans, I was doing the same stretch before every leg day, she said in a follow-up video. Man, that's a really interesting fucking little stretch you were doing there, lady.
She is so full of shit.
And all the people saying that I deserve to have my phone kicked, I deserve to be harassed in public because I was minding my business in the smallest corner of the gym. Is there a rule that says no phones? No, there's not. Was it on a tripod? Was I being obnoxious? No, I wasn't.
No,
was I
it's
being
no
low?
Humping
no.
The equipment at a public gym. Don't get your hepatitis on my fucking medicine ball.
Right. Was I being loud? No. So it's really sad to me to see all these comments saying that I deserved something because I went to the gym and was stretching.
And just goes to show she never learned a fucking lesson from it. Never.
But if she was doing, what did she call them? Pulse squats?
Yeah.
How is that stretching? That's exercising. That makes no sense.
Yeah, she's training for a pole, all right, but not...
Pulse squats. Not pole squats. Pole squats.
Yeah,
oh,
I said
P-O-L-E,
pole squats.
Right?
I thought I said that.
P-U-L-S-E.
Oh, pole squats?
Pole squats,
she's
yeah.
trying to pull some pole, though. You know.
Oh,
you.
Yeah. Miss Ruby also...
It looks like she's trying to sit on some pole is what she's trying
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
Miss Ruby
she's
also
gotta,
speculated.
She's got to stretch. Get the old twat spreader.
That the stranger already
that
knew.
That really stretches it out for those traffic cone cops.
Oh, God.
I've seen, man.
Pointy at the end.
There's legit.
Girthy at the back.
There is legit shit of women doing that kind of thing. And I'm like, that's why they're doing those damn
things. I've seen a girl sit on a fucking banister of a bed.
Yeah.
And hump on that. Like, yeah, you're just ruining yourself for anybody.
For anybody in the in the universe.
The biggest cock in the world feels like a hot dog being thrown down a hallway.
Right. Did I deserve something because I went to the gym and was stretching? Miss Ruby also speculated that the stranger already knew who she was and that made him angry. Regardless of what side of the debate you fall, data shows women regularly feel unsafe in gyms due to unwanted attention from males.
Well, stop fucking humping the equipment. You know, they have sanitary things to wipe it down for a reason. They don't want sweat on it. They don't want pussy juice on it.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous that we even have to.
I tell you, every time I use the equipment, I'm like, whether I think I sweat or not, wipe it down.
We've got two more.
Stop humping the freeways.
We've got two more. One is a serious article, and the other one's just for funny. Just for laughs. So, all right. I thought it was pretty damn funny anyway. All right, but this one is important. Okay, so the Standard. Dating apps have become the kiss of death for male reproductive success, says a new book. Love is not on the apps, says author and scientist David Baker in his new book, The Shortest History of Sex.
All right, now he's going back to, get a hobby. Have confidence in yourself. It's nothing that...
This is a little different, though. Male dependency on dating apps, now the leading way couples meet, has markedly increased with a smaller number of men to date willing to approach a woman they don't know in public. In the early days of Tinder in 2014, the gender split was 60% male and 40% female. Today, 70% of users are male and 30% female, with the latter still meeting a larger proportion of men via work, friends, or on nights out. As a minor note, if you meet your spouse in a bar or club, your chances of divorce increase by roughly 45%.
Oh, if you meet in a bar?
Yeah, or a club.
Well, I mean, you don't have to meet in a bar and club.
No, you don't. I'm just saying that, it's part of the study.
But I'll tell you this much. Dating apps, we've seen them with girls at our work. They flip through them. They're looking more for validation than they are actually connection. Because they'll have, 1,000 likes, and they'll be like, nope. But it's the number at their count. It's like, oh, I had 100 men want me. Well, no shit. You go humping a fucking pole at a gym, you'll get at least 5.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you won't be allowed to come at that gym no more.
Okay, so the result of these trends is that women of average to high levels of attractiveness are typically inundated with matches, whereas the Tinder experience of the average man is a decidedly more desert-like experience. App data indicates that a woman swipe right an average of 12.5% of the time, whereas men swipe right 65% of the time. Women on apps can be exceedingly selective, whereas most men aren't. A contributing factor is that men tend to have fewer flattering photos of themselves to post on apps that thrive on initial physical attraction rather than personality.
That's because we're not in the bathrooms with our girlfriends, that face, everybody.
Right. Part of this is evolutionary. As a relic of our primate heritage, most men are physically unappealing compared to other traits that might signal they make good partners. Even modern dating app data shows women rate 75 to 80% of men below average. For 55 million years, only a fraction of male primates enjoyed reproductive success.
I think women are just pickier.
And for about 2 million years, men have relied on more than just looks to signal their appeal to a potential mate.
Well, yeah, you gotta have personality.
Charming conversation.
Confidence.
And are telegraphing utility and aspirations. The upshot of male dependence on dating apps is that male sexlessness is at record levels, with approximately 17% of men under 30 being virgins and 28% of them not having sex in the past year. Dating apps can also be punishing for women, but for dramatically different reasons. The flood of matches has created an illusion of choice, which does not translate into greater reproductive success for most women. According to app data, female right swipes tend to cluster towards a minority of men, 5 to 15, with a great deal of overlap, eliminating other contenders who may have made perfectly good mates.
Yeah.
On one level, you can hardly fault someone for choosing what's in front of them. If you have 100 people offering to sell you a Ferrari for $1, you're hardly going to pay much attention to the 900 people offering to sell you a Ford Fiesta.
Now, you might do good on a chat. A date map is basically how well can you write something. You have a good, a lot of guys, we don't really have good text conversations, but I have good in-person conversations.
Right.
So I make sure my profile has kind of like if I was talking to someone in real life. And you can take that for free. I'm not going
to
charge for
the
that.
The successful minority of men on dating apps tend to be exceedingly handsome, photograph well, imply they have well-paying jobs, and often advertise their height. To illustrate the point, there is a popular meme related to modern female mate choice, 6'6 and 6, 6 feet tall, 6 figure salary, 6 inch penis. Yet only 14...
Well, I got 2 out of 3.
No. If they're only going for 6 inch, it's got to be 8 inches at least.
Good night.
I don't care about the money, but I got to have 8.
8? She said 8.
Oh, 8. Well, okay, I got you.
Yet only 14.5% of men are 6 feet and over, and only 20% of men have penises 6 inches or longer, Empress.
How many?
20%.
Well, I guess I left out men.
And only 13% make 6 figures or more. If you want to manualize all three, the percentage is less than 5, and not all of them are single. With roughly 49 to 51% of the population being female, this is a disaster in the making. The result for women is that while the average number of sexual partners they have under 30 has roughly doubled in the past 20 years, there has been a marked decrease in long-term cohabitations and marriages, with nearly half of women aged 30 to 45 being single, and the involuntarily childless rate in developed countries being between 20 and 35%. The disadvantage one sex reaps is largely reversed on the other end. It is clear that sex in the modern era is becoming something of a dystopian, brave new world for many people. Welcome to modern dating.
Well, all right. What people need to figure out is what's going on in Japan and what's going on in America that are similar. Because I think a lot of those are overlapping with lower birth rates. Now, there are some people that just... I'm not going to say lower birth rates. There's a lot of births happening, but there aren't... With people in love, it's like random hookups gone wrong or something.
Well... Let's see. We got a comment here that's interesting. What did they think was going to happen? Women literally want to outlaw men below their standards approaching them in public. And that's actually
a
real thing.
They want to make being a man illegal, basically.
Yeah, that's one thing they're absolutely trying to do. If you are... you'll get arrested if you try to approach them and try... That's crazy, right?
Have you noticed that a lot of these more liberal women are coming back to, like... I want someone with more conservative values because they're realizing these effeminate men
they
aren't
don't.
What they want.
Yeah. All right, so this is the last article of the night. Daily Mail. Kilt-wearing pervert is arrested after going into antique stores and shoving items up his rectum before placing them back on the shelf for display.
Well, I mean, how are you going to tell if it fits or not? No.
Texas! Texas, great state of Texas. Texas antique dealers struggled to believe their eyes when surveillance footage revealed a shopper in a kilt.
You know what the worst part is? All the antiques are bigger in Texas.
Furtively.
How come the title of that article wasn't Texas Man?
I don't know, because kilt-wearing pervert fits. Kilt-wearing pervert.
We have a Florida man problem, so why didn't we start the Texas man problem?
I mean, J.R. Ewan from Dallas would never shove anything up his ass.
Texas antique dealers struggled to believe their eyes when surveillance footage revealed a shopper in a kilt furtively inserting display items up his bottom before returning them to the shelves.
You're going to have to pay for that. It's broken now.
Word spread quickly through the business community in spring after the heavily built man was spotted. This guy is pretty big.
You got to stretch yourself out for something like
was
that.
Was first spotted at the antique gallery. Maybe he was doing those pulse squats.
He was Scottish, but
Are you done with that medicine ball?
I got a few reps I got to pump out.
I had to watch it a couple of times to be sure I knew what I was looking at, gallery manager Susan Golden told Fox 26. I've seen quite a few things here, but not that.
I'll tell you something funny this makes me think of, but...
All right.
I can't give you names or details.
That's
because
fine.
It's a ongoing law.
Oh, no!
So, of course, I'm security at a casino, so won't name the name.
Yeah.
But, so, one of the guys I work with, we were back there just searching the parking lot. These cameras are fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were watching a fucking meth deal go down in the parking lot, and it's like you're watching...
A movie.
A movie of people doing meth in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And so, and I caught some people, and I mean the police swarm. But anyway... So this guy's in the front row of the parking lot facing the casino, people going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed, like, dude's rubbing pretty heavy on his crotch. And so we're watching, got all the security team coming back there laughing, like, oh, this sick fuck. And all of a sudden, he whips it out, all right, let's call the police. you know, that's a sex crime there.
Right, right, right.
End up, dude gets out. The policeman calls his name over the thing. He's wanted for multiple felonies in the next city.
Wow.
And more than just perv behavior.
Damn.
Like drug and murder charges.
Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Mitchell C. Vest, 60, was arrested on February 15th and charged with one count of criminal mischief for his treatment of items, including a makeup brush, a restoration hardware piece, an antique bottle opener, and a tobacco tent can.
He opened that bottle.
Well, he's going to love his stint in jail.
He shoved it up there and you hear like police? A bottle cap popping off a soda bottle.
Police are still looking for a female companion who appeared to accompany him.
What? Hey, don't listen to these fucking influencers if a dude shoves things up his ass as a girlfriend.
Golden said the man has been seen on several previous occasions at the 85,000 square foot. This is a massive antiques
place.
That's
a huge antique store, right?
Often loitering for hours without making any purchases. Shit, what's he doing? It's like a guy in a porno man. Like, oh, maybe this one. No, this one today.
Then someone goes with their wife, and she's like, I must have that vase. No,
you are not. No, not this vase.
I don't know, but I used to know some weird-ass people. Like, they were, this guy, he had this obsession. Every party we went to, he would shove the people's toothbrushes up his asshole. And I would get so mad at him. And then he would leave and I'd be like, hey, look at your toothbrushes. He shoved them up his ass.
He would take all of his pennies
and shove them up his ass and then give them, like, use them at places. I was like, what is wrong with you?
All right. I
don't know what is wrong with these people.
Bad roommates one time. And so I took their toothbrush, scrubbed my ass with it. Then I took the razors and shaved my asshole and taint with it and put it back. And then I waited the next day, came up, had a conversation with them while they were shaving and never told them.
Oh, no.
And then they're like, what are these bumps popping up? No, I'm playing. I don't have any of those diseases.
Wow. Golden said that the man had been seen on several previous
occasions. I did do that. Other than the bump part. The bump part was made up.
She called police on February 10th after seeing him take the makeup brush and hardware piece, shove both of them up his ass, then return the items to the shelf.
I merely scrubbed the rim. I didn't shove anything up my
ass. Later that day, he appeared at the nearby curiosity shop doing the same thing with a bottle opener and tent can. Both complaints advised they had to throw away the items that were used in this incident due to feces being on them. Both provided the video surveillance of the incidents and both wished to pursue charges. After his description was circulated, horrified dealers as far away as Galveston and Tomball realized he had also been in their shops. By February 15th, deputies had received calls from multiple concerned citizens about the man who they said was observing selected items from multiple vendors and placing the selected items in his rectum. The male was then observed removing items and placing them back on the shelves. Constable, just take it with you. I mean, please, that's terrible.
Oh, I mean, Constable, still pay the people for the item.
They're not even...
Look for a price guide first before you, like, oh, this costs too much. I can't afford this. Don't shove it up your ass. As simple as that.
Constable Mark Herman of the Harris County Police Department reported.
I want this, but I don't have a buggy. Where will I put it?
During further investigation, constable investigators were able to positively identify the male as Mitchell Vest. Oh my god. Due to the loss of multiple antique items that had to be disposed, the constable deputies obtained a warrant for his arrest for the offense of criminal mischief.
You know, it'd been even funnier if they found an antique tied up wad of handkerchiefs. Like, oh, when do the handkerchiefs end?
Deputies with Constable Mark Garman's Special Operations Unit then located and apprehended Mitchell Vest for his criminal mischief warrant. Vest had set his bond at $100. The shop's estimate...
$100?
That's it.
I bet the cheapest thing he shoved up his ass was more than $100.
Yeah. The shops estimate the damage he cost at $74 in the curiosity shop and $130 at the antique
He
dollar.
Was curious, all right.
I was just really in shock, well, Golden. I was just really in shock, Golden said. I just really didn't know what to say or think.
That makes you think when shows rent out a place for a night. Like, if I was the guy, the shop owner, I'd be like, what are y'all really using these vegetables for? Because I don't know.
Those items should be stuck up his ass for good, never to come out again.
You've heard that about the farmer's daughter, haven't you?
Maybe. Okay.
Let me tell you this one real quick. So, guys, and this is an old joke, you know. Three guys go to a farmhouse looking for shelter, and they like, you can sleep in the barn, but don't fuck my daughter. They all hook up with her, and the farmer catches them. Say, I want you to go out there and get as many fruits and vegetables as you can carry out of the garden and bring them back. So, first one comes back. He's got strawberries, squash, you know, cucumbers. Second guy comes back. He's got about the same thing. And he says, all right, I want you to shove all these up your ass. Well, they hit the ground, just rolling on the ground, laughing. He's like, what's so funny? I'm not playing. Shove them up your ass. Like, what? And they still can't stop laughing. He's like, what's going on? He's like, George is out there getting the biggest watermelons he can get out.
Oh, my God.
Traffic cone situation.
Man. Moment of silence for his cellmate, who now has to check his toothbrush every time he leaves the cell.
Oh my god.
Well, I think that's going to
That does sound like prison rules, though.
Yeah. I think that is going to be the end of the Grim Articles show for tonight. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Yeah. And to minimize the issue I had, I'll be using the Brave browser instead of Chrome because all Chrome does is crash my Discord. Thank you, Microsoft.
Chrome does have a lot of issues.
Chrome is a piece of fucking shit. I shouldn't be using it. But I am.
Well,
anyway,
probably come free on your phone.
Well, Brave is free too. Yeah. There's so many free. You can use Opera. You can use a lot. You use Firefox.
Lion, right?
Huh? Yeah, Brave, the Lion. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Sandman got his money for that. All right. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and we got Dead Penetration,
later.
Which well, he will be. Hold on. He will be resuming on the Grim Ranch show every Sunday.
Yeah,
we're going to be doing that every Sunday. So we got a new game plan. Not this Sunday, probably. I mean, I don't know. We'll figure that out. But
yeah, we'll figure something.
But every Sunday, we're going to get together. We're going to do the Grim Rant Show, where me and him are just going to have a topic, and we're going to go off on it. It's just
going
to be different stuff to talk about, and it's no articles. We'll just talk about different things that are going on. Okay. So it's that sort of thing. Meanwhile, me and Empress will continue the Grim Articles show. So that's going to be... You guys will see it every Saturday, but we do it every... Well, we do it every Saturday morning, but you guys will see it every Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
So, and you never know who's going to come on. We had one of the guys was in my server. He came on from the UK. So there's always different people that will come on and talk. And, you know, we always encourage discussion
always
with other
a good
people.
Accent. It always sounds
yeah. Strange. I mean, he had some good stuff to say. Unfortunately, he kind of left after...
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he had good points.
Yeah, he had some good points. But all right, guys. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, Dead Penetration, and Empress.
Later.
Bye.
We'll see you guys later. This is... I am out. Enjoy the decline.
Yep.
Okay, we're done.